definitely want to bless his name because the Lord is good. Yes, he has been merciful to us, allowing us to be a part of the great work that he's doing during this time. And so we give God thanks. You know, today in this message, I think I'm going to be able to cover all of this, but we, you and I, are told to grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Yes, the Christian life is one of spiritual advancement. It's a continuous thing. That is how it is supposed to be. Now, some have the idea that since they have prayed a prayer in the past, a prayer of repentance, maybe got baptized, that everything is accomplished and therefore it is done, we can go back to business as usual. Well, that is incorrect. See, this is the very idea why we were admonished to grow in grace and knowledge. I mean, it's amazing that folks would come to that conclusion after getting that admonition. So as we count down to Pentecost, ladies and gentlemen, the anniversary of the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, empowering the church, we're going to explore three obstacles to our spiritual growth. You know, there are others, but I just want to narrow it down to three. Because God gives us his Spirit. He gives his Spirit to those who obey him. Acts chapter 5, verse 32. That's what it says. He gives his Spirit to those who obey him. And he expects us, ladies and gentlemen, he expects us then to follow the lead of his Spirit. Remember, that was part of the promise, you know. I'm going to send you another comforter that's going to lead you into all truth, not some, you know, but all the time, really, always on the job, always available for those who are willing to listen and to yield. Now, many in the church of God are spiritually complacent. That's really obstacle number one. They forgot the teachings of 2 Peter 3:18, which is what I just quoted a while ago. In fact, let me go back and read it, make sure I didn't miss anything. But 2 Peter 3:18. Because we need to be focused, ladies and gentlemen. Verse 17 says, "You therefore believe, seeing you know these things before. Beware lest you also being led away from the error of the wicked fall from your own steadfastness." So the idea is we don't want you to stay in the original way, but you should be steadfast, in other words, advancing. And just in case you didn't get it, verse 18, "but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To him be glory, both now and forever. Amen." And so the point here, ladies and gentlemen, is to stir us up. You know, many in the church are lacking power. Yet he said he has empowered us. How in the world can you be empowered and still lack power? Well, there are obstacles to it. And that's why we're covering these things today. Three of them. There are many more. I have seven on my list, but I'm just going to cover three of them today. Because I'm saying your spiritual complacency will cause us then to not grow as we should. You know, what's that expression they used to use? "I got my baptism." And so folks believe, well, that's it. Got my baptism, therefore all is well. Well, he expects us to move on beyond that, the elementary stage. Now, the Apostle Paul, the man who wrote most of the New Testament scriptures, he remarked, this is what he says in, chapter 3 and verse 13. He says, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. In other words, you're supposed to be advancing the things that are ahead of you. And so he says, I'm going to forget whatever happened in the past. I'm going to press on. This is how the church should be. This should be our posture. You know, when folks play football or soccer, for those in Kenya, you know, and you're going to position. Yes, they put them out on the field. Everybody just line up and just stay at the center. No, they go into position. You see how they do it in the soccer field? Same way they do it in the football here in America. Same principle. Well, it's the same for you and I. We have a posture of advancement where we decide now we're going to overcome because the enemy of our soul, he's always accusing, he's always going to come with something. There's always going to be some test and trial, and God expects us to pass in every grade. And therefore, Paul is saying, no, I forget those things and I'm pressed forward towards the mark. That's his declaration. That should be ours also. Verse 14. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And if anybody want to be perfect, which perfection is the goal again, yes, I know we won't get there, but we're getting closer, aren't we? Yes, we're getting more and more like Christ. We're being changed in his image, remember? And so, let us therefore, as many as are perfect, verse 15, be thus minded. In other words, take on this mindset. And if anything that is otherwise minded or anything that you need to know, yes, God will reveal it to you through his spirit. So what I'm saying to you, ladies and gentlemen, is that if Paul, who wrote most of the books that we are now studying, and we should be studying, aren't we? If he wrote those books and he says he haven't counted himself as having attained, neither should we. We need to press on. Now, another point, ladies and gentlemen, to our, I should say, another reason for lack of growth, another obstacle, is ignorance of our identity in Christ. I want to encourage everybody. Go through the scriptures, especially just after you pass the gospel. You can actually go all of it, New Testament, but especially the words of Paul. And everything you see in him or in Christ. Look at those phrases again and study those and meditate on it because he's talking about us. He's describing us. God who called things that are not as though they are. In other words, he called them before they become what it is because he knows destiny. So he's calling these things and he's making some statements about us. Now, the problem we have is that the enemy is so clever in fooling so many people into thinking that, well, you haven't got there yet, therefore, and he's trying to cow you down. In other words, he tried to belittle you and make you think that that's how you are. You're never going to get there. And sometimes he might even use the phrase, not in this life. Well, I'm telling you, he's wrong. I believe every word of the Lord and what he has there. And that is what I'm going to encourage you. Find out what your status is in him. Did he not raise us up and allow us to sit with Christ Jesus in heavenly places? Let's look at Ephesians chapter 2, verse 5 and 6. Even when we were dead in sins. What an expression. When we were dead in sins. That's how it is. The expression, I mean, there's no hope. Well, they were dead in sins. Had quickened us together with Christ. By grace are you saved. By grace he has quickened us, ladies and gentlemen. Means to empower or make to come alive. Verse 6. And has raised us up together and made us to sit together in heavenly places. In Christ Jesus. Listen, the person who used to sin before is not you anymore. And you shouldn't be going back in that direction. Why? Because he wants you to live up to this expectation of going in this direction. So he has made us now to sit with him in heavenly places. Now you need to walk like it, act like it, and talk like it. There are a lot of things going on over in Kenya. I listen to some of the news from time to time. And really, what the folks need, they don't need known leaders. They just need to pay attention to the Word of God. And that's what I'm trying to share with the church. You need to pay attention to the Word of God. Apply yourself in that regard. Recognize what your status is. Just a little digression. You wonder why you have all those folks coming over to Africa. There's a lot of people running over there now, running, trying to get uranium and other metal minerals. I just read about that yesterday. You know, even America is going to try to get new source of uranium in Namibia. That's the countries west of South Africa. And what I'm saying is there's a lot over there, titanium, lithium, and so on. And everybody's come trampling down the place. You know why they're doing that? Not because there is a lot of poverty. No, they're doing that because there is something of substance there. Now, I'm telling you, that's God who owns all things. He is the one who is in charge of everything, and he can turn some of it over to you. And I'm promising you're going to have a lot of stuff in this life, but what I'm saying is that he will supply all your needs. And therefore, with that understanding, when you recognize it, then you need to start to walk and act and talk like it. Because you and I were purged from our old way of thinking, the old leaven, 1 Corinthians 5:7. We have covered this many times before. That is the status. So I am saying to you now, you need to know your status. You were purged. Therefore, you are unleavened. Remember, I can read that phrase again. He says you are unleavened. He didn't say you're going to become. No, you are. That's God's viewpoint. If God says so, that's it. I'll tell you something. You learn to accept the words of the leader. Some years ago, I went to a convention, and there was a shortage of space. And it turned out my aunt was in charge. And so she asked if I have in this place, and I said no. So she said, follow me. And she went to the gentleman who was in charge of everything, and she said, this is my nephew. He doesn't have any place to sit. Can you help him? He said, yes. And my wife, you know, and kids were with me, and then some of the folks who saw us, they just started to follow us too. And he gave all of us seats, all the way up front. Now, there was a supervisor who didn't really understand and saw what happened. She came and she got really upset. And she tried to tell us to leave. I mean, she really raised a lot of shame for us to get up. Tell her we don't belong there. My aunt looked at me and said, Ed, man, the person who's in charge tell you to sit there, so you sit down. And that's what we did. Well, she kept carrying on, and after a while, he saw what was happening. So he came up there and he pointed his finger at her and beckoned for her to come to him. I don't know what he said to her, but she left us alone after that. The one who was in charge, tell us. That's how we are. I am saying to you, that's how you are. We are new creations. We must live up to this expectation. This is our status. We are dead to the old way of thinking. We are continually being transformed into the image of Christ unless we are reprobate, and we're not, are we? Know your status. This is your ammunition when the enemy comes and try to tell you that you're not ill, that this is not going to work out. You can quote the word just like Jesus did. That's what he did. Remember? Read it. Every time the enemy came, he read it. It is written. It is written. It is written. I'm saying to you, it is written for you too. And that's what I was just quoting a while ago. What is written for you in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 6, 1 Corinthians 5:7. And there are many, many, many more. I could spend all day quoting the scriptures. But you get the idea. Read it, believe it, speak it, and live by it. Because we mean business. We're going to overcome whatever obstacle the enemy is going to put in our way. Now, a third way, ladies and gentlemen, that we really sometimes don't live up to the expectation and continue to grow as we should is that we are disconnected from the Word. Yes, I know in this life we have a lot of challenges and so on, but that doesn't mean you shouldn't read your Bible. As a matter of fact, it's one of the reasons why you have these challenges is because you don't read the book. You need to spend more time in it. This is one of the ways to live with power, because there is no word of God without power. Luke 1:37, there is no word of God without power. All of God's word has power. Remember, I said Jesus quoted it. But he was successful, wasn't he? So will you. He answered certain by quoting the word. This is our example. Now, Psalms 1 records the life of a person who decide they're going to believe the word of God. This is what he says. Blessed is the man that walk not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stand in the way of sinners, nor sit in the seat of the scornful. Why is he blessed? Verse 2. His delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law does he meditate day and night. The word law there means teachings. His teaching recorded here, the word. Verse 3 tells us, he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bring forth his fruit in its season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he does shall prosper. That is the life, the description of the person who lives and strives to live by every word of God. Remember what Jesus said? Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. Well, that's what you should be doing. The person, you know, as we just pointed there, he's bearing fruit in his season. Now, he's not going to come up short with excuses or not a, well, you know, this is not going to work and this hindered me. No, he's going to come through. Now, many would like to live and walk in faith and power. Well, how do you get that? Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God, Romans 10, 17. So I'm saying make this your standard operating procedure. You know, SOP, we used to call it. You know, industry, we had a, what we call a SOP. Everyone had to have this, especially at the university. We had to declare what we do, whatever it is we're doing. And folks can come, if there's nobody in Mars, but if they come from wherever and come and read it, they'll say, oh, that's what you're doing. Well, you and I, you should have an SOP. And I'm saying to you, you know, make the word of God your SOP, your standard operating procedure. Now, Jesus said, man shall not live by every, you know, live by bread alone, but by every word of God. Therefore, you get the idea. And I'm asking a simple question. Are you striving to live by every word of God? Growing up spiritually, ladies and gentlemen, is our, obligation. And we avoid, you know, the obstacles by just following these three procedures. There are many more we could talk about, and perhaps at another message we'll share more. But I'm saying these three are a start. And I encourage you to make sure you study these and apply them. May God bless you.